welcome back. It's Wednesday. It's our second weekly report hour with several doctors you're going to hear from this hour. Wait till you hear this. This is going to be very interesting, especially Dr. Kevin W. McCarron. This is very interesting. Erica Kahn is here with us as always, and we have been following this story, I think, as you well know, very closely from the beginning. And I mean the story about the alleged Hydra being improperly called a parasite being implanted in the bioweapon vials. Again, no one else but the original presenter of those pictures has been able to find any, at least over here, where the gentleman in Poland found something, but it was a different kind, apparently, of an aquatic creature. So we have no continuing discoveries of any of these happy hydras in the vials from Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, or AstraZeneca. There's none there. So we came out early on, and Erica called it a probable contaminant. In other words, if you understand how these pharmaceutical products are actually manufactured, especially liquids like what's in the vials, they come from not just one source under the highest quality control situation, but they come from multiple sources which do not always adhere to the highest in quality control. Let's just put it that way. So they can pick up all manner of contaminants along the process. And looking at something through a 400 to 600 power light microscope is not seeing virtually anything that's there. You've got to get down to 20, 30, 40,000 power with a transmission electron microscope to see the things that are there, most especially nano. You cannot see nano at 600 power. It doesn't work. We've demonstrated that and explained it at least twice now, and I hope you'll all remember that. So these people who are flapping their gums on these various platforms saying, nano, nano, look, there's nano. Nope, it ain't nano. You can't see it. So let's get that straight. Now, we're going to start tonight with just a little tiny update on the general idea of contaminants. Many people, and a lot of you listening, who have municipal drinking water from your city, right? Even a well. Well water has contaminants in it, all right? Not like city water, but city water is notoriously bad. God knows how many different contaminants are in there. Got a story in the headlines going up here in a few minutes. Pouring a glass of cocktail water full of chemicals. 56 more new contaminants found in U.S. drinking water. This is a big analysis. So you don't want to drink tap water. Okay, that's just an idea. When you think of tap water, you think of something that is really put through a rigorous process to clean it, sterilize it, purify. Nope, doesn't happen. Now, something that caught my eye, and I'll dip this in here because it's particularly repulsive. Pfizer has put together an ad campaign because they're about to start injecting little children 5 years of age and older with these bioweapons, that if you take the shot, it will make you, the little child, a superhero and give you superpowers. Can you spell evil? I hope so. Pfizer is telling children that taking this bioweapon kill shot will make them superheroes and give them superpowers. One other footnote to that. Why did the government authorize and approve a blood thinner tablet for little children last June? Because they knew the target was children and they were getting ready to try to prevent mass child death by giving these kids blood thinners when they get the shot. So they don't stroke out with clots. You understand. I'm sure you do. All right. So, we have now to move forward. Let me welcome Erica back on tonight. Thanks for standing by while I went through that, Erica.
Well, good to be here, Jeff. Thank you.
there's a lot going on here, and I'll tell you, there's an old expression, the game is afoot. Since we have pretty well put the Happy Hydra story to rest, others have begun, and I'm not saying that we caused it, but others are now being observed and are being recorded as saying and stating and writing that Hydras and even 5G talk is misinformation. Now, I'm not saying that. Erica's not saying that specifically. But we do not believe the Hydras are being impregnated into these vax vials by anybody. We think it was a contaminant. We're not saying it wasn't there, but we're saying don't sweat it. It's not a parasite. Your immune system will destroy it if your blood saline doesn't, because it's a freshwater aquatic animal. All right, we've been through that. Now, a gentleman named Dr. Kevin W. McCairn, C-A-I-R-N. He's a neuroscientist, Ph.D. He's over in Japan right now working. 30 years of experience working in his field. He was working with Dr. Richard Fleming and doing the microscopy exams of the vaccine vials. He also did the lipid, this is important, he did the lipid nanoparticle biodistribution study showing that the lipid nanoparticles went systemic and did not stay at the injection site. You remember that lie? Oh, it'll stay right there on the site in your shoulder. Don't worry about it. No. In fact, the lipid nanoparticles traveled to all major organs, as was shown by Dr. Kevin McCairn, including the ovaries, most notably, then the brain, the liver, the spleen, the heart, and the kidneys. All right, now, the Stu Peters program brought Dr. Kevin McCairn on as a guest. We're going to play a clip of that in just a minute. Erica, why do you think Stu and company, and a lot of people think that's one of the most blatant, obvious, deep state information platforms ever presented to the American and world public. And I didn't say that is my opinion. I say that's what a lot of people feel. I have my suspicions. But why would they bring on Dr. Kevin McCairn? Are they trying to salvage their Happy Hydra thing? Is that what they're doing?
That's what it looks like to me. That story just isn't standing up to scrutiny. And I think they're trying to discredit the people that are coming out against it. And it's rather a bizarre move, because the people they've chosen to discredit are actually highly credentialed and credible witnesses, sure. if not experts in their own fields.
Well, McCairn.
So I think at the very least, it's a cover up for their own sloppiness in investigative journalism. And just trying to save face in whatever misinformation they put out there irresponsibly or intentionally. I don't know.
Where are all the other doctors?
It's rather comical.
It is.
That they're trying to discredit people of that stature.
Well, this is one of the top people on the planet. Where are all the other doctors and scientists and researchers who are coming forward with, aha, I found a parasitic hydra genetically altered in the vial of vax that was given to me? Where are all the other people with the happy hydras? They're not there. Haven't seen one. Doesn't mean there aren't any, but I haven't seen one. So, all right. Let's go ahead and rephrase what you just said. That was important. And all of you understand the very essence of disinformation, misinformation, how it works, black is white, up is down. We all get it. We understand that. Dr. Kevin McCairn has been a professional for over 30 years. I might just suggest, how long has Stu Peters been a professional in this field? The most people can find out is about 50 podcasts is about all people can find out. At any rate, be that as it may or may not, I don't think Mr. Peters can stack his credentials up to Dr. Kevin McCairn in any way, shape, or form. Nor can any of the people who are regulars on the Peters program. This doesn't work. So, all right, tell us anything else you want to tell us, and I'm going to start this video.
No, to me, it just looks like a act of desperation on their part to save face and cast aspersions on anybody that's questioning the narrative that they put out a couple weeks ago.
And that narrative being that the Hydra is a genetically altered, manufactured, tweaked aquatic organism that has been enabled somehow to exist in a saline environment and is being injected into the body through the needle to go into the brain, most likely, I guess, and take over the human and turn him into a transhuman. That's the kind of palaver we're getting here.
Yeah, and we've now discussed on three or four previous programs why that's implausible and unlikely, and what the most likely explanation to date is for the appearance of these microbial life forms in these vaccines. And I think until that is ruled out, that's what you have to go with.
All right.
I mean, this idea that we're going to inject a foreign organism into somebody's shoulder and have it take over their mind, parasites do that. I don't deny that. But the fact that it's a Hydra that's somehow genetically modified to do this, and for what purpose?
And only one Hydra to date. One. That's all we found.
Yeah, one person. That's it. And clearly, if somebody's making that claim, they do not understand what is involved in creating genetically modified organisms. You don't start with an adult host.
Doesn't work.
The most you could do is change their genetic expression, but you're not going to have a truly transgenic organism by doing it this way. You have to start with the embryo or the germ cells.
Okay. So the Peters program invited on as a guest, Dr. Kevin McCarron, who has said unequivocally that Hydras, especially, that kind of talk is misinformation. So let's see how this goes. I haven't heard this, so I'm looking forward to it.
Dr. Richard Fleming made an appearance on the Alex Jones Show last week, broadcast on InfoWars. He showed off what happens when a COVID-19 vaccine is mixed with human blood. According to Dr. Fleming, within just a few minutes, vaccine-injected blood showed substantial clotting compared to blood left alone or injected with a saline solution. Fleming also says that he found a lot of, quote, fibers and, quote, garbage, crystalline structures floating around in the vaccine, which in normal circumstances shouldn't pass quality control. Now, remember, just yesterday, we talked with Dr. Jane Ruby about how the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System data suggests that some vaccine batches are far more likely to cause adverse reactions than others, which would also indicate shoddy quality control or, as Dr. Jane Ruby suggested, something more nefarious, even diabolical. Now, Dr. Kevin McCarron assisted with Dr. Fleming in all of those experiments, and it was his blood that they experimented on. We had the opportunity to sit down with Dr. McCarron earlier today. Here's part of that conversation. So Dr. Fleming starts that viral video with a long list of what he calls, quote, lots of misinformation. But a lot of this information comes from courageous frontline doctors, other scientific experts with vetted expertise. So how does he or you or both dismiss the findings of these scientists when the methodologies were completely different?
It's a good question. On where, at a scientific level, when there are differences in methods, it's always a case of you're going to have, you know, differences of what the results mean. I would try to sort of step out from that type of technical argument and maybe frame it in a bigger scope, and that is what trying to achieve by speaking out to what's happening with SARS-CoV-2, the political responses, the lives lost, the businesses crushed, the tiptoe of totalitarianism sneaking up behind us. And I would say right now that as mandates are pushed forward by the political class that I consider no longer represents the people. They're more the front puppets of a technocratic oligarchy that spans the globe. And so we have to put our data into a format that is going to have the most impact. Now, right now, they're literally coming for, they've already started with children. They are lining up shots across, not just the United States, across, and engaging in an experiment. This is not a fully approved medication. It's experimental in the fact that it's a gene transfection rather than a classic vaccine as it's pushed by those in the political sphere. And we need to be sure that if we're going to move the needle, that we're precise about what it is that we're looking at. And I appreciate Dr. Madej's approach. I've followed her since the beginning of SARS-CoV-2. There's been and like I said, I don't want trouble on your channel, Stu, but there's a cadre of scientists and doctors who have stepped up, but pushed a line of hypotheses that I don't think warrants the public's trust. If you start speaking about them making alternative networks that are the consequence of DARPA research, that's fine. That's a fine hypothesis to have 18 months ago. Did we see anything in the unopened vials of Pfizer-BioNTech? No, we didn't. And I've sent you a short presentation.
So are you just saying that their findings are just too shocking to tell the people, or are you saying that are you dismissing their findings as inaccurate?
It's one data point. That's it. It's one data point from someone who for 18 months has been pushing the idea that there's a 5G control network that's coming to take your body and brain. Maybe. I work in that field. I'm a systems neuroscientist, and I've put lots of things into the brains of monkeys and humans to affect behavior.
What we're saying is because you guys didn't find it, it doesn't exist.
Not that I'm not saying...
That is not journalism. This is an ambush interview, is what it is. It's taking things out of context here.
It depends on the vials, right? How many vials have we tested? I've tested 5. How many has she done? Has anyone watched how she did the experiment?
So can you speak to your chain of custody on the 5 vials that you examined?
I don't want to name the person who's sent them to me, but it was direct from the clinic to me, accelerated delivery, and as soon as I got it in my hands, it was experimentation.
Okay, so you're stating that you didn't find all the things reported by other experts. We've got Dr. Van Welbergen, Dr. Young, Dr. Mogg in Austria, Dr. Batha, who have done extensive microscopy work.
Mm-hmm. So we can look at the presentation that I've sent, show you examples of what Dr. Batha showed, which are these, rings. People talk about rings as being nanotechnology that's in there. They're not. They're air bubbles. Air bubbles in a viscous liquid, and I can show all the effect that she shows snapped together, and you can see the surface tension of the bubble being lit up as
I've seen a lot of things on Google about air bubbles. These clearly don't look like that. These are perfectly symmetrical. They also have what appear to be metal connectors in them, and Karen Kingston brought up patents that actually shows these rings.
What's the most useful data right now for you to say no to having someone come to your school and start dishing out Pfizer, Moderna, and probably Johnson & Johnson if you're extremely
Well, because people are dying, that's why. There's been a lot of talk about graphene oxide, obviously.
Let me hold it there just for a minute and get a comment from Erica on this. I am kind of surprised at this. Remember, no one can see nano. You can't see it in the small 600 power microscope, and yet some of the people presenting these things are claiming this is nano. It's not nano. Is it an air bubble, or is it some round ring structure? I think we have to pay close attention to what a 30-year professional, top-grade, world-renowned scientist, Dr. Kevin McCarron, says. 30 years is a long time. And I can also say, I'm going to repeat what I said the other night. I have some sources, been in this a long time, and the chain of custody for the alleged parasite, the Happy Hydra, is not intact. From my understanding, what I was told was that at least one of the vials was already used and had been punctured. I'm not going to go any further than that. But when you talk about chain of custody, get a video chain of custody, you've got something. If you don't, what do you have? Somebody's word against someone else's word. All right. Erica, you want to... I'm not jumping on anybody in specific here. I'm just trying to keep this from getting muddied and stirred up and thrown in people's faces to confuse them. There are no hydras in any other vials that anyone has found over here. We know about Frank Zaluski, the geologist in Poland, but no one here has found any hydras. So that in and of itself should tell you something. Erica, what do you have to say about this?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that alone gives you a high index of suspicion that there's something not right if it's not reproducible. This just reeks of desperation on the part of this program, the Stu Peters program, in trying to maintain a narrative that's falling apart by casting aspersions on, you know, licensed or highly credentialed researchers that are contrary to what they've put out there prematurely and without validating it.
There was no, as I've said again and again, there was no validation vis-a-vis anyone else finding the same kind of happy hydra in any vial anywhere that I know of. If any of you know about that, send me the pictures, send me the chain of custody. I'll be happy to publish it. So Dr. McCarron, a neuroscientist, PhD, 30 years experience in this field, I think you have to take that very seriously. He worked with Dr. Richard Fleming. This isn't a clear effort to sully the work, if not the reputation, of several people. And I don't find that to be exemplary journalism. I don't find it to be journalism at all. It's
no,
bullshit.
It's nothing more than sensationalism.
Right.
And I, you know, that was my intuition right from the beginning. It was just something that would grab headlines.
The Hydra presentation was a sci-fi misdirection trick. In all likelihood,
yes.
I'm not saying anybody in particular thought it up or presented it. There are victims in many shapes and many colors, people who get sidelined or get sidetracked or whatever. There's a lot of things involved. But we have to take this at face value. How many were there? One, alleged. No one else has found any. And it's been weeks. Okay, let's go back to the video. This is an excerpt from the Stu Peters program.
Dr. Fleming dismissed that in that video that aired on InfoWars and called the electron microscopic proof of graphene little creatures. So what exactly does he mean? What is a little creature?
So right now, the graphene oxide has been used in vaccines for a number of years and the vaccine industry.
I don't like to...
Excuse me, but no one else has said this. This is rather unknown that graphene oxide has been used for a number of years in other products, similar products. Now, this is I think, a big revelation, because people were talking about graphene oxide as being utterly brand new, utterly out of control, and utterly suspicious. Some people said damn near the whole vaccine, the liquid, was graphene oxide. Doesn't seem to be the case.
That's right.
All right, let me back this up just a little. Hold on.
And if you're extremely...
Well, because people are dying, that's why. There's been a lot of talk about graphene oxide, obviously. Dr. Fleming dismissed that in that video in that aired on InfoWars and called the electron microscopic proof of graphene little creatures. So what exactly does he mean? What is a little creature?
So right now, the graphene oxide has been used in vaccines for a number of years and the vaccine industry.
I don't like to get into this talk about what rhetoric is more shocking. What about just the truth? And if they're finding these things, I mean, if these things are there and they have found them, but you haven't, I would compare it to this. If I throw a $100 bill in that room that you're sitting in and I say, hey, go find it, it's $100, and you don't find it, does that mean that it's not there? No.
What the hell kind of circuitous logic is that? This is not the point of the interview.
I mean, it's so absence of evidence is not evidence of absence.
Very
right?
good.
You know, this is our data that we're bringing to the public right now at a very critical time.
Which I think is extremely important, but I also don't think that discrediting other people's findings, hundreds of brave frontline doctors that have come forward and said that this is what we have found.
It just happened to be Dr. Carrie Madej that finds special creatures that are linked to 5G, when she's been pushing that for a long, long time.
So let me just ask you, do you believe that Carrie Madej is lying?
I haven't seen her do the whole process of receive the vaccines. Like you've seen me, you can go watch me, shuttle, crack the top, and start putting in slides so that you are live, doing it live, so people can watch her.
So now I did ask Dr. Madej about her chain of custody, and she said that the chain of custody was there. Kind of like you, she didn't want to obviously divulge her source where she got it.
You can't tell your source because those companies will come for you.
And I think that's fair to ask. I do. I think that it's important to be responsible with your findings.
That's very nice. I think it's important to be responsible for your findings. These are profound statements here. Big time stuff.
I guess I would fall short of calling her a liar.
I'm not calling her a liar. I'm just saying that you have to understand the context in which she's framed her hypothesis.
She's a conspiracy theorist, you're saying.
I don't want to say conspiracy.
See, that's the oldest trick in the book, putting words in people's mouth. This is not journalism.
Sure is.
Don't fall for this garbage. This is real garbage. And by the way, I will repeat what I just said. I have a source and the chain of custody of Dr. Madej's vials is corrupted according to what I have been told. I'll leave it at that. Just repeating what I have been told by a very trusted source.
Iris, I just want to say she's been she could have just been more cautious in the people that she was going out with. She was doing presentations with.
In point of fact, she came on the Stu Peters show, and Stu asked her, "Will you put your entire reputation on the line about this Hydra being in the vials?" She said, "Yes, that's a fact."
A woman called Sharamani, and she's linked to another 5G individual.
So the conclusion here that Dr. Fleming presented was that he found artifact in the drops of this Pfizer vial that he called garbage. He used that term.
Oh, gosh, Stu, give me a break. He can call it anything he wants. It's trash. That was the point. And it wasn't nano. Nano is teeny tiny in a whole nother universe of visual acquisition. You can't see it in a 400 or 600 power microscope. Period. This is highly edited, by the way. I just want you to know that. I'm watching all the edits. So it's been edited.
Often throughout this video demonstration in about 25 minutes. Can you elaborate on what that means? Why did he use the term garbage? Is that a scientific term?
Because it
This is such a non-issue. It's ridiculous. It doesn't matter what the hell he calls all the crap and trash and debris in the non-quality controlled vials of these deadly liquids that are bioweapons. This is not the point. This is all misdirection. Playing on a word? Come on, Stu. You can do better than this. Or maybe you can't.
He could have been more precise with saying, it looks like crystalline precipitate.
I just have to say this. I just find it to be very arrogant.
Wait. Who's being arrogant here?
A couple scientists or doctors or PhDs, JDs, would just say that hundreds of people are just absolutely wrong.
Hundreds of people? Who's saying that there's hydras there?
So the entire discussion with...
Hundreds of people. That's not a correct statement either. So, all right, here. That was the end of, apparently, Dr. Kevin McCarron, 30 years, a top scientist in his field. He's a neuroscientist. All right, let's go and see what the postscript says from Mr. Peters.
We'll just say that hundreds of people are just absolutely wrong.
Hundreds of people? Who's saying that there's hydras there?
Cut him off.
So the entire discussion with Dr. McCarron seemed to be an attempt to discredit specifically Dr. Carrie Madej, along with other scientists, doctors, microscopy experts, and so on.
I didn't hear it that way at all. I heard simply a scientist trying to present his view of reality. I think he has that right. At least he did until he was cut off. This is getting to be morbidly humorous.
Went on for more than a half hour, obviously more time than is allowed for here during the regular broadcast. You can find
that. Allowed? And who is your keeper, Stu, that allows you time on your program to spend on an incredibly important subject? Who do you work for, Stu, that controls your time? This is ridiculous.
Discussion in its entirety, if you're interested, at stupeters.tv. Well, we all know that Lindsey Graham is the butt slut for these Pfizer vaccines. They're his number one contributor. He's been bought and paid for by Big Pharma. We know that he doesn't care about...
Butt slut. Now, is that a journalistic term? Is that as bad as calling the trash and the debris and the garbage in these vax vials? Garbage? A butt slut. I 35 years of journalism, I've not heard that one. Go ahead. So, all right with me. Let's see what other jewels there may be here.
Individual liberties or your rights, but more so about shilling for these shots proven to be dangerous and in many cases deadly. But he also views those who objected to a fraudulent or stolen election in a certain light. He wants you gunned down, hunted like a dog. We're going to discuss that with Lauren Whitson.
All right, we're getting into politics here now, and I think most everybody listening knows all about Lindsey Graham. Probably know too much. Okay, Erica, that was really a sad performance. And he had a chance to really work with Dr. Kevin McCarron to find out what he thought about the potential of contaminants in these products. These bioweapons, which are filthy, and remember, come from multiple locations, not just one. What are your thoughts?
No oversight. I just want to say that I think Dr. McCarron is extremely gracious in consenting to an interview with that caliber of journalist. there's a full-length interview with Dr. Kevin McCarron on BitChute as of today. I would say it's more objective and factual than what you were getting there. And I think, Jeff, you've posted it on your website.
Yeah, it will be. It's up now. It should be. The number of edits in that were remarkable. So that was, whenever you see edits, you've got to become a little suspicious. There's always an agenda involved. Not just time. There are other reasons.
So, yeah, Kevin McCarron goes into some detail in this hour-long interview on BitChute today. I believe it was a Tim Truth channel. And it talks about what they're seeing under the microscope. And, again, you have to remember this is not a transmission electron or scanning electron microscope. So you're you're still seeing contaminants that are in the macro scale as opposed to the nano scale. But there are, he did confirm that there is quite a bit of bacterial contaminants in there among other solid contaminants such as precipitates of sorts, and whatever.
So
and
people are getting, excuse me, Erica, these people are who are taking this bioweapon are getting injected with a lot of garbage, okay? Whether it's bacterial garbage, precipitate garbage, any, you name it, garbage. There are probably dozens of potential contaminants in these vaccines, which aren't vaccines by any stretch. So, I mean,
These are toxic on every level.
Correct.
You know, about the only thing that they don't do is offer any immunity to so-called COVID. If anything, they seem to create a susceptibility to it.
I think I can speak for Stu that we are all on the same page. We are sick of seeing people dying, seeing people's lives being destroyed with so-called side effects, suggesting they might just go away. They're not going anywhere. These people are injured until they die in most cases. So the big picture is shared. I don't think there's any question about that. It's the idea of setting somebody up and having an agenda going in. We call it ambush journalism. We always have. And there's just no place for it. Sorry.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, really unfortunate.
Okay, well, we'll wrap up Happy Hydra for the time being and move on. But wow. Okay, McCarran is just tops. Tops, and Richard Fleming, these are internationally reputed, brilliant scientists, physicians, PhDs, JDs, they've got it all. Okay, and let me just remind you that the first person that I ever heard was Erica Kahn on this program talking about the high toxicity of lipid nanoparticles. And the McCarran proved that the biodistribution is all over the body and within moments. The blood moves extremely rapidly, okay? There are other contaminants in the bioweapons that aren't being seen. They are real nano contaminants. When you look at a blood cell under a microscope, you are not seeing nano. Let's tell everyone again how small nano is, and anything you want to add about additional contaminants, go ahead.
Well, again, nano is defined as anything less than 100 nanometers. And the danger of nanoparticles is that they don't obey the normal laws of physics. They have what's called wave-particle duality, meaning they function both as a solid and also as a waveform. And that's fairly significant because they can travel around the body. They can slip in and out of cells through membrane pores. So the body loses control over regulatory processes. When it can't control what comes in and goes out of a cell, that's very disruptive to the functioning of that cell. And this additional attribute to nanoparticles having a waveform as well is also very disruptive to the body's signaling processes, because the body runs on not only chemical reactions but also electromagnetic frequencies. So these nanoparticles of all sorts, the metal ones in particular, are very disruptive, but the lipid nanoparticles you could include in there as well. Anything nano is going to be disruptive to the function of a cell because it's like interference, interfering with the electromagnetic signals that are happening on a cellular level and the chemical reactions that are happening on a cellular level. They are poison, and they come in many forms, and nowadays there's really no regulation on the production of these materials and how they're being used. They're contaminating food supply. They're out in the crops, you know, in the form of smart dust. They're aerosols. We are being permeated with this stuff. And certainly having it come through a needle from an injection is almost guaranteed poisoning. So these lipid nanoparticles are, because they have a positive charge, they create horrendous oxidative stress, particularly in any cell that has a high oxygen content, such as a red blood cell. They're absolutely destructive to red blood cells. And getting rid of them, I don't know if anyone's really determined how the body actually deals with these positively charged lipids that are synthetic, so they don't follow the normal pathways of degradation. They claim they're biodegradable, but how long does it take and how much destruction do they do in the process?
Okay, very
and
good.
The other issue we have in the nanoscale with these vaccines, and probably maybe more frightening, is the mRNA itself. And when they went to large-scale production for these vaccines, they lost quite a bit of the quality control because they're being mass-produced now, and then the oversight just isn't there to control tightly the entire process. And back in December, Pfizer, I guess, released some raw data showing that their mRNA in their vaccines was typically maybe only 85% intact, and at worst 55% intact. So that means maybe up to 45% of the time there is no intact or not enough intact mRNA in these lipid nanoparticles to be able to be read and translated into a protein, and in this case, presumably the spike protein. So that may account for some of the people that never formed antibodies to a spike protein after the vaccine or never had much of a reaction. It could be because there was inefficient mRNA in the vaccine. It was not intact. It's what they call truncated. And as a truncated piece of mRNA, that can also be very disruptive to a cell because it tends to act like a piece of interfering RNA and silencing your own native RNA. So your cellular communication is botched. So that's one contaminant. And the other major contaminant of concern in the nanoscale is the linearized pieces of DNA that's left over from the production process. It should be purified out, but they discovered that it's not, that there is linearized DNA in these vaccines. And that's a danger because it can be very readily integrated into your DNA. And the consequences of which, well, depends on where it's integrated. If it's in the area of an oncogene, you may end up with cancer. So there's a lot to be concerned about with these shots.
Yeah. The cancer issue is huge. I don't know if we'll have enough time to get to it tonight, but it's
absolutely exploding.
Super cancers, I call them, because there's nothing to stop them now. They're running rampant. And they're bizarre cancers of all kinds, because the body no longer has its natural immunocompetence to deal with tumors. It's just lost. That's what these bioweapons do. This is a very evil, evil conceived and created weapon. And it kills people, and it will kill people in many different ways. Now, here's Dr. Peter McCullough, who is now on record as saying that lipid nanoparticles in the vax go straight to the heart. Remember how they told us, oh no, everything stays right at the injection site? Not according to Dr. Peter McCullough. Let's listen.
Now, the myocarditis that occurs with the natural infection is usually those sick enough to be in the ICU, and it's a troponin elevation only. It's very different than the myocarditis that we're seeing with the vaccines, which we'll get to. The myocarditis in COVID-19 is mild, it's inconsequential, and it's largely a troponin elevation. I don't want anybody to think that the myocarditis of the natural infection is anything like what we're seeing with the vaccines.
Exactly. The vaccine produces the inflammatory type process is on the heart.
And the vaccine is directly there. Now there's preclinical studies suggesting the lipid nanoparticles actually go right into the heart. The heart expresses the spike protein. The body attacks the heart. There are dramatic EKG changes. The troponin, the blood test for heart injury with the vaccine myocarditis, is is 10 to 100 folds higher than the troponin we see with the natural infection. It's a totally different syndrome. About when the kids get myocarditis after the vaccine, 90% have to be hospitalized. They have dramatic EKG changes, chest pain, early heart failure. They need echocardiograms. If the ejection fraction is low, they need medications to prevent heart failure. So vaccine-induced myocarditis is a big deal. And in children, it's way more serious and more prominent than a post-COVID myocarditis.
Okay. He just said it again. The myocarditis from the vax bears little resemblance to the very calm version that comes allegedly from whatever COVID-19 is in occasional people. These kids, there's a nurse, or I'm not sure she's a nurse, she appears to be a professional health clinician of some kind. She's saying that 2 out of 3, I think it is, of their young men in Australia who are getting these bioweapon kill shots are showing up with myocarditis, heart attacks. Their hearts are being damaged. And their lives are clearly now over in terms of sports, heavy exertion, the joy of life, all of it. This is worldwide global Holocaust population destruction. There's no other way to look at it now. And if there was another way, I would jump on it. I hate this. It's hideous. Erica,
yeah, the fact that these things are the Pfizer vaccine is now ready to be rolled out to kids 5 to 11 is just criminal. And then there was something I read today that said the children tend to be, these lipid nanoparticles do tend to really go after the heart in kids.
Wow.
And become almost hyper-expressed in that cardiac tissue for some reason. And possibly it's because, yeah, young kids are in a growth phase, so they're very good synthesizers of protein. And wherever these lipid nanoparticles end up and properly read and translated into a spike protein, that organ's going to be attacked. It will be attacked by their immune system. In this case, it seems to be the heart preferentially. And it's, that organ is damaged. And all for a virus that barely affects kids.
Oh, it's obvious to anybody above room temperature that this is being done with utmost intent to destroy children, otherwise sterilize them. Last June, the FDA approved a blood thinning pill for 5-year-old kids. This is unprecedented. They knew what was coming. They knew. They knew back then that it causes problems in adults, fatal problems. So they came up with a blood thinner, allegedly just for kids. And now they're telling kids that if you take the shot, you will become a superhero with superpowers. They're actually doing this. Pfizer advertising campaign. How evil and satanic does it get?
Yeah, it's absolutely shocking that, you know, there's really no objection to it. You know, it's not just one person perpetuating this. It's many. Many are complicit in it.
Everybody in the professional health industry that engages in either administering remdesivir or otherwise withholding ivermectin, and maybe even now antibiotics, which we feel should be given as well, are complicit in whatever happens to that patient. I'm not liking at all what I see. Not at all.
No.
This is a time for measured thought, kind consideration of other people's work, not putting them down and ambushing them does no good. Thank you for being here, Erica. Thank you very much.
That was my pleasure as always, Joe. Thank
right.
you.
Good night.
Yeah. All right. Good night.
Okay, we will wrap this one and be back with you tomorrow night. Hope to have the pleasure of your company then. Talk soon.